on RIB English Radio, whereby we try to criticize movies with religious, spiritual, and metaphysical themes. Well, one of those movies that we decided to talk about and criticize is Celestine Prophecy, which was directed by Armand Mastroianni, produced in 2006. Well, IMDb actually gives it 4.8 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes 4%, I don't know why, and the box office for that movie was $1.5 million. Well, some of the major, actors and actresses are Matthew Sell, Sarah Wayne Callies, Hector Elizondo, and Annabeth Gish, to just name a few. Well, the whole story is about John Woodson. This guy is a high school teacher who loses his job, or laid off, and decides to visit Peru. His trip takes a turn after he makes up his mind to look for a manuscript that leads him to a new awakening. Well, before we start our session or this episode, let me greet my guest speakers. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Always a pleasure to be with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is all mine. Well, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Celestine Prophecy, and then we'll be back with his criticism. Don't go away.
Put your fingers together like this. Go ahead. You're going to look at the space between your fingers.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. This is Muhammad Jawad hosting this program. And we are trying to start the criticism of the movie Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Armand Mastroianni. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, let me start with you. In this episode, what are the 9 insights and what do they represent? Would you talk about these insights which are this movie is trying to portray in this movie?
Well, in this movie, when they talk about the 9 insights, to be precisely frank, the whole movie was so boring in its nature that yes. I really could not focus on what they're trying to get at. So what the whole idea was is that they get you to move through, like what I compared to this, but the, is it the Hindus or the Buddhists, they call it chakras.
Yes,
so
chakras,
You unlock a chakra and then you can relieve yourself from one of the limitations of the body itself until you reach a complete, like just a spirit where you can extract your soul from the body. So I'm not aware of the first 8, but the last one is where you actually project yourself outside. So there wasn't much emphasis in the movie about the 8 stages. Mm-hmm. They would just mention them, and they would just focusing on the 10th one or the 9th one.
Yes,
where they want to the 9th insight that you go through, which to me, it made no sense, to be quite honest. I didn't get anything out of this.
I see.
So okay. maybe Brother Ibrahim can shed a light on that.
Mm-hmm. I see. Of course, you said it was quite boring, but I found this movie adventurous, kind of.
How
you know?
So? Which part of it was adventurous?
Like, you couldn't, for example, expect what's next, or at least you couldn't predict what's going on, like in the next scene.
It was very predictable, actually. It was very predictable in its nature because you could see where this is going from the beginning. So there were the good guys, the bad guys.
I'm not talking about the message it was trying to portray. I mean, like the 9 insights. And you didn't know what the insights held.
No, technically speaking, when we want to talk about the insights, so you begin with synchronization, right? So you synchronize your body. You try to visualize the history, which is something that he was constantly having himself. He was having visions of the past. And then they have the talk about energy, which you can concentrate your energy Understanding your energy, conflicting with your energy, clearing your past, the energy flow, the personal ethics, and I think these are the things that they were trying to get at.
Yeah.
Because mind you, this is all based on the book itself.
Yeah.
It was based on a book, but they didn't do it very well. They didn't do a really good job in trying to put these nine into practice. Where first he synchronized himself with whatever's around him, and then he moves into history, and then he challenges his energy, and then the rest.
Mm.
So this is why I said I couldn't figure out what exactly was trying to do. But at the end, when they trying to tell him, okay, now you've reached the energy stage where you can see things in a different perspective, now you can sync with other people, you can transfer energy, and then at the end is the insight, which even on that, there wasn't much focus.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie itself was as afloat as the book itself.
I see. Thank you very much. Well, let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie, Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Armand Mastroianni. And then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
I met Jose in Boston at an anthropological meeting. We kept in touch over the years, but I had no idea what he had found until several weeks ago. He called me, asked me to help affirm the prophecy's authenticity. He sent me copies of the first two scrolls along with translations. Real thing. There's no doubt about it. Written no later than 5 or 6 BC, but you know the curious thing? They were found in a wooden box, which dates to only about 1600 AD. Someone in the early church had buried them.
Early church? Franciscan or Jesuit? Oh, I'm a history teacher.
Well, apparently Franciscan, although they seem to be inspired by a pope, Celestine V, I think.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, trying to help me criticize the movie Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Armand Mastroianni. Well, Brother Yasser, in addition to the insights, well, in the movie, of course, it shows that there are nine insights, but at the end, like after capturing, you find out there is going to be more insights, though. In addition to the insights, there are also nine keys, which are talked about in the movies. What's the role of the nine keys?
I think that, obviously, there were nine scrolls. So maybe the number nine has some significance here. So in ancient Greek philosophy, yes, especially in Pythagorean philosophy, mm-hmm, which was based on numbers, number nine was like
holy.
The number that had, because after nine was the last number. And then there was that the numbers would become tarkib, they would be joined together, one and zero, one and one.
Yes.
So nine was like the maximum number, was the highest number. It had the highest sort of flow through it, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So nine has had some significance to it. I mean, in Islam, we have this ilm of Jafar, or the ilm of numerology as well.
Yeah,
So again, there may be why the number nine is significant here. But as the story goes on, there's the 10 insights. And as we read the book, there are 12 insights. And God knows what else will come up afterwards. But again, I'm assuming from the movie itself that one of the keys opens one of the insights. I'm assuming that is what it was. One key opens inside one, key two opens inside. But again, what do you mean by key? Then it's not a physical key. Yeah. It is a realization by the person himself. So when he realizes something, one insight comes. Or when the person realizes the second thing, the second insight comes. When he realizes the third thing, and so on and so forth. And this is what I'm assuming this was around anyway.
Yes, exactly.
But I don't know. I haven't read the book. But I don't know, again, just to put it out there, whether or not the actual insights are based on Christianity or not. Like, is there a link between the two, between the actual Christian faith and these insights? Or did the movie just kind of amalgamate it within Christianity? Something needs to be seen or checked.
Solely it's based on Buddhism, but a little bit, it's touched by the New Age spirituality, yeah, which comes out of Christianity too.
Yeah, so again, so it's not actual Christianity then.
Yes,
so it's not because Catholicism...
Not. That's
not like
the
this.
Mystical aspect of Christianity.
Yeah. I mean, if it come out from like the Catholic side of it or from the Protestant side of it, it's also important to see.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue the program, Viewpoint, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Dream anything last night?
Yeah. Little girl I dreamed about before. Makes no sense.
It's probably important.
Why would you say that?
Because regardless of how confusing they are, dreams are always trying to tell us something. Maybe you just need a larger perspective.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mama Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, helping me criticize the movie Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Armand Mastroianni. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, what's the significance of Inca ruins in the movie? You know, Brother Yasser, you know, in the last section of this episode, talked about numerology, which is also, you know, somehow a kind of esoteric kind of science, you know, which is taught and studied, in fact, in certain selected places or, you know, centers, well, in different religions or even spiritual cults or occult practices, you know, we also have synchronicity, which is a major theme in one of Carl Jung's philosophy, or rather psychology, I should say. Mm. You know, these are very important concepts when it comes to such, you know, discussions. You know, we shouldn't avoid talking about Carl Jung, who was, you know, a major legendary figure in this regard, or a champion, sort of, you know. Even he wrote a book about synchronicity. But in addition to that, what is the significance of the Inca runes in the movie?
So when it comes to ruins and when it comes to historical sites, especially the ancient ones, people of that time, and even now, sometimes they hold significant to these people from religious or not only religious, but even, what's the word I'm after?
Ritual.
Ritual, thank you. From ritual perspectives where they connect to.
Yes.
And this is, I don't think it's limited to a certain culture, but even us as Muslims, we do have such things, we have such attachments to these true ones. Now, the further you go back in history, for example, whether it is in Peru, in Brazil, or like in North America in general, you'll find most of these sites that at some certain point held significant position or status to the people of that time, and it continued through this time. So back in the day, I'm not sure if in these ruins in Peru in particular, since it's an Amazonic kind of forest or place where a lot of really, like if you read in history, you see a lot of really horrible rituals were taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I now, for some reason, the movie Apocalypse came into my mind.
Yes.
With Mel Gibson, where they used to sacrifice people for the sake of God. So it held significance back in the day. So now with the movie, I think Brother Brahim was saying that you said it's a Christian in its nature. Actually, it's the opposite. They're trying to say, no, we have something that even Christianity cannot give us anymore.
Mm.
We want something, a prophecy that came from a land so far that they had an insight of the future. So they're trying to give it that value, mm-hmm, that was such a place.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason then, in the same place as they go into visions, these people were Christians. So I think I asked you before the show if this ruins before Christ or even after Christ. But since it's way before Christ,
yes,
I don't know why they bring in Christianity in between and the scrolls being written by the Christians themselves or even the guy here, the priest, yes, who found them.
Yes, exactly.
So it's, like I said, so the whole movie, the whole book, it wasn't making sense to me as much as I hoped it, mm-hmm, would.
Thank you very much. Sayyid Abdullah. And thank you very much, Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize the movie Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Arman Mastrioni. Of course, we haven't finished its criticism, and hopefully we'll do that in the upcoming episode. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Relax your focus just a bit. What do you see?
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the third day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we said yesterday, today we will speak about the customs of different ethnicities in Iran in Nowruz. Today we will speak about the customs of people during Nowruz in the beautiful Gilan province in north of Iran and southwest of the Caspian Sea. Stay with us, please. The people of Gilan province have a very ancient record among the Iranian ethnicities. They live in the southwest of the Caspian Sea, a very lush and beautiful region. They are very hardworking and joyful. However, there are other ethnic groups in Gilan, such as Taleshi and even Azeri Turks. A man or woman from Gilan is usually called Gilak. Among the ceremonies and customs of Nowruz in Gilan, mention can be made of Nowruz Khani. Men sing songs while playing musical instruments and go from door to door. Sometimes, women accompany them in colorful dresses and give the good tidings of arrival of spring. The theme of most of the poems that Gilak and Taleshi people sing in Nowruz Khani are about praise of God and the Prophet and his progeny. These poems also describe spring. The poems continue with venerating the host in front of every house, and host gives them presents and sweets. Dichin Vachin is another prevalent custom in Gilan province to welcome spring. The Chin Vachin is the same as Khune Tekuni, meaning house cleaning, which we have already spoken about. Houses in the villages of Gilan are mostly thatched. Women clean the house and prepare clay in the last month of year. Then, they adorn the walls with colorful clay and straw. Moreover, they throw away broken and old jars. They paint fences and banisters. In short, people, especially villagers of Gilan, try to renew everything to welcome spring. Arus Gola or Arus Goli is a dramatic custom in Gilan before the arrival of spring. It is a show in which a giant, a man called Pir Babo, meaning old father, and Naz Khanum are the main actors. Pir Babo is a man with the makeup of an old man. Giant is played by a man with a cap from rice straws. Naz Khanum is also a woman whose role is played by a youth wearing female attire. The theme of the show is the squabble between the giant and Pir Babo on Naz Khanum. The squabble leads to wrestling of the two. The giant is the symbol of darkness and winter, while Pir Babo symbolizes a gardener who bestows Arus Gol, beautiful bride, to people and nature. The giant wins the contest and leaves the scene with Naz Khanum. Haft Sin tablecloth is prepared by people in Gilan province like other parts of the country. In the brink of the turn of the year, they hang boxwood twigs on the door and rooms and spread the beautiful Haft Sin tablecloth to welcome spring. Women in Gilan put the 7 items of this tablecloth and also put a burning light in it, wishing a luminous and bright year. It should be mentioned here that the provincial capital, Rasht, was dubbed as the creative food city by UNESCO in 2015. UNESCO, in a report, says, throughout generations, Rashti cuisine has not only carried on ancient recipes, but also unique cooking utensils and methods. Dear listeners, with presentation of more than 230 foods, including appetizers, main foods, desserts, caused the UNESCO to pick Rasht as the creative food city among 34 cities globally. The city has one of the biggest variety of Nowruz foods. Some of the famous foods of Gilan are کله کباب، کپور، آبه، باقالا قاتق، میرزا قاسمی، ترشی تره، سیر قلیه، کباب ترش، انار بیج، واویشکا، شیشنداز، گاماج کباب و ماهی فی بیج. Dear friends, as you may know, egg is an essential item in Haft Sin tablecloth. But it is interesting to know that old families in Gilan give an egg to anyone who pays a visit to them during Nowruz. People in Gilan paint eggs with natural substances. They used to put onion leaves and leaves of other plants or peels of dried fruits like walnut and pomegranate in a pot. Then water was added and the pot was put on fire. After some minutes, the eggs would become colorful. Egg is called morgane in Gilaki language. After the turn of year, children who have got eggs as AD, that is Nowruz gift, gather together outdoors and call for rivals. The fight begins with two contenders. Before starting the game, they hit the eggs to their teeth to make sure that they are hard enough. The contenders stand opposite one another. One starts as aggressor to strike a blow while the other defends. Then the defender holds the egg in his fist in a way that only the tip can be seen. Now the aggressor hits the egg with his own egg in a gentle blow. Anyone whose eggshell is broken will be the loser and should give the egg to the winner. In the past, during the first days of spring, this fight used to be crowded and exciting with spectators around. Sometimes a winner would gather many eggs and eat them in the end with his friends and others. Well, that marks the end of this episode. Tomorrow, we will continue with the Nowruz customs of Kurdish people in the west of Iran. Thank you for staying with us.
Iranian Weapon Part 4.
Kuwait was the main financier of Saddam's war against Iran, but Saddam miscalculated. Kuwait was not like Iran for the United States and the West to remain silent in the face of an attack on Kuwait. The U.S. president immediately reacted.
The United States and its coalition allies are committed to enforcing the United Nations resolutions that call for Saddam Hussein to immediately and unconditionally leave Kuwait. In view of the Soviet initiative, which, very frankly, we appreciate, we want to set forth this morning the specific criteria that will ensure Saddam Hussein complies with the United Nations mandate.
These were the moments when a limited war broke out between the U.S. and Iraq over Kuwait, which ultimately led to complete sanctions on Iraq. To the extent that Saddam was forced to destroy all his missiles and declare the location of all his defense facilities to the West. Saddam implemented all the tasks that the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, dictated to him and didn't even know that the new U.S. president was going to attack him without getting a U.N. approval.
Involve Saddam Hussein.
This president is the son of the president who had attacked Iraq in the past. The Mersad air system is the result of the trust. Mersad means ambush. The Iranian ambush is an example of the reverse engineering of the American Hawk. The first step to conquer the sky step by step. This is 2010. The Mersads launched their missiles one after the other. Missiles are called Shaheen and are domestically produced by Iran. The missile control room is also domestically produced. This is an important secret. This room is the big secret of Iranians. Without having information about it, it's impossible for the enemy to easily disable it.
408, escorting your 3R-4401.
The position of the Islamic Republic is standing against any aggression and humiliation. Delay in delivery of the S-300 prompts Iran to start developing a similar air defense system. It's a bold claim, but Iran has previously reverse-engineered American systems, so it isn't unlikely to reach this one as well. Meanwhile, the project to design an Iranian S-300 system had started, and on the other hand, the complaint against the Russians had yielded good results, and the first convoy of S-300s was arriving in Iran. But the odds are against the former absolute power in the sky. This is the Northrop Grumman Corporation, the manufacturer of the billion-dollar Phantom aircraft. They built the X-47 to compete with the RQ, and now they are assembling the highest flying American spy aircraft. The Pakistanis also love the UAV, but Iran will soon disrupt the game for this factory as it turned the tables on the RQ manufacturer. Global Hawk. It is an eye that looks at the ground from about twice the height of other types of aircraft with pinpoint accuracy. Maybe we could say that the most important part of this drone is a SAR radar. SAR scans the surface of Earth. Global Hawk can scan 7 million square meters in a single day. But on June 20th, 2019, for the United States, some developments are underway. This is the American base in the United Arab Emirates. The Global Hawk is to take off. The destination is Iran. The Global Hawk has turned off all of its detection systems and is untraceable. The American Hawk can be seen on the Iranian radar from the moment it takes off. It is getting closer and closer to Iran every moment. So much so that it reaches around the Mubarak mountain area. It is in the crosshairs of this system now. The Khordad 3 radar and missile launcher, a system that the Americans saw a few days ago on the Shahid COSG vessel, but they do not know that the very system is going to surprise them tonight. From this moment, this name, Khordad 3, will be scary for all American aircraft. The defense system of Khordad 3. Sometimes after the explosion, the damaged body of Global Hawk is taken out of the water. This wreckage will be placed on display for people and officials to see. In the release pictures of the remains of the drone, one of the images attracts most of the attention. The picture is an image of the SAR radar, the most important part of the Global Hawk. Iran has achieved this technology at its highest level. 3 years before this event, Absar radar had been unveiled here on Kish Island in Iran. But possessing American radar can make the Iranians fully aware of their opponent and the American technology. American SAR can work even in the most stormy of weather. Now, Iran is the only country that has this radar. The radar that begins its work here at the hands of the Army Chief is the radar that detected the Global Hawk. This radar is called Saman. Those days, Iran was building two other important radars as well, Miraj and Nazir. This is Nazir, which stands on the highest peak in the east of the country. Nazir is used like a radar net against the smallest drones. This radar system is Nazir's brother, Muraghib. It watches over the Persian Gulf. The S-band is an important feature in radar design. It works so reliably that the United States uses this band to communicate with its satellites and space shuttle. Muraghib and Nazir have another brother named the Persian Gulf. This radar is specially made for radar evasive aircraft. On the other hand, the Iranian army has designed an important system which is similar to the S-300, but much more efficient. Bavar 373 missile. Bavar uses Iranian-made Sayyad missiles and destroys six targets at the same time. Bavar shoots vertically. It shoots from a canister, which means it has outmatched the S-300. Bavar's radar detects all aircraft, even the strategic and very expensive American F-35. Bavar can hide among terrain features. Its mast opens and closes quickly. It can change its position very quickly. Its missile is called the Sayyad 4, which is completely Iranian. This is the same missile that was first made through reverse engineering of the Americans' missiles, and now it is so advanced it can detect and hit the American F-35. This is the power of a country that 30 years ago announced its need to have a defense system to the world and was sanctioned by all powers and allies. A colossal monster emerges from behind the clouds, embodying Iran's ambitious vision. This radar is known as Sipir. The range of the radar is 3,000 kilometers. That is, if an aircraft takes off from Israeli-occupied territories, it will be monitored in Tehran. Intercepting Israeli aircraft is not good news for the regime. Israel's small army used to rely on surprise attack as a principle previously. On the other hand, Iran's allies have been equipped with air defense systems for years. One of them is Hezbollah. While Lebanon does not have any air defense system, Hezbollah surprised everyone by purchasing the SAM 22 system. This system has already been seen in the Egyptian army and works very well to deal with fighters and helicopters in areas like Lebanon. It means that Iran's air defense power is no longer limited to its borders. Iran is the defense eye of all axes of resistance. Today, Iran has turned out to be an active pole of drone power in the region and across the world. It can send long-range pinpoint missiles and drones for specific purposes beyond its borders. It can also monitor, control, and guide the missiles and drones through its most advanced radar and defense systems.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb.
On Friday, we are here, 11th of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is verse 1 of chapter An-Nisa. We listen to it, then we come back, speak about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا.
O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul and created from it its mate and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you ask one another and the wombs. Indeed, Allah is ever over you, an observer.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The first verse of this surah addresses all human beings. The content of this verse is a message to mankind as a whole. It invites them to piety and being in awe of Allah, then to introduce the Lord who is aware of all deeds of human beings. It points to one of his attributes, which is the origin of the unity of human race. Mentioning this subject here is a sign of an extraordinary importance that the Quran maintains for a strengthening blood kinship. Dua for the 11th day of Ramadan.
اللهم حبب إلي فيه الإحسان وكره إلي فيه الفسوق والعصيان وحرم علي فيه السخط والنيران بعونك يا غياث المستغيثين.
O Allah, on this day make me love goodness and dislike corruption and disobedience. Bar me from anger and the fire of hell by your help, O the helper of those who seek help.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا
Salatur Rahim, maintaining the ties of kinship. Islam has placed tremendous emphasis on maintaining the bonds of kinship, Salatur Rahim. Salatur Rahim means to take care of kin, to visit them and to assist them in whatever way possible. The Holy Quran has enjoined looking after the well-being of one's relatives, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, niece, nephews, grandparents, grandsons, granddaughters, and etc., and rendering to them all possible assistance with the purest of motives. In that connection to support indigent relatives unable to earn their living economically, to share their joys and sorrows, to strengthen family ties, and never to break sever relationship with them are among the fundamental teachings of Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, in this very show, we are going to talk about the importance of maintaining ties of kinship, that is, Silatul Rahim, during the blessed month of Ramadan. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a narration, if someone has 5 dirhams, he would spend the first dirham on his parents, the second dirham on his own livelihood and comfort, and the third dirham on his relatives, the fourth dirham and his neighbors, and the fifth dirham for the sake of Allah. Maintaining ties of kinship, Silatul Rahim, is one of the moral traits that Islam has strongly commanded to be observed. One of the sayings of the noble Prophet in the Khutbah Sha'baniya, Sermon of Sha'ban, relates to Silatul Rahim, in which states, maintain respect for your elders, show mercy to the younger ones, and maintain ties of kinship or Silatul Rahim. In the Holy Quran, those who oppose Silatul Rahim are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 3 places, in his words, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says in one of his narrations, do not befriend those who do not maintain ties of kinship, for these individuals have been cursed in 3 places in the Quran.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
Man by his nature loves comradeship, and Islam being a religion of togetherness and love encourages social relationship and familiarization among people as some of its fundamental teachings. This is why the Prophet loves the person who mixes with people more than the one who keeps away from them. He said, "The believer who mixes with people and endures their harm is better than the one who does not associate with people nor endure their harm." Paying visits is a means of socialization. It leads to sound relationship, promotes love, strengthens bonds, reminds the heedless, teaches the ignorant, refreshes the souls, and alleviates sorrow.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
This is today's special and etiquette of visiting. Don't enter anyone's house or room without permission. You are obligated to seek their permission first. The Islam code of seeking permission specifies that one should stand close to the door, knock, and thereafter say, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May I come in?" If this does not elicit a reply, employ the same method of salam a second and third time. After the third time, if you fail to get a reply, consider it as inappropriate moment for meeting. There could be some valid excuse. Therefore, return and do not ever feel offended. While seeking permission to enter, stand on one side. Don't stand in such a way that you can see inside. However, if the host is right in front of you, make salam and seek permission to enter.
Maintaining ties of kinship will bring blessings to a person. One of the blessings of Silatul Rahim is the extension of a person's life and the removal of calamities from their life. Increasing sustenance and other blessings is one of material life. In one's material life, as well as immense reward and recompense in the hereafter, are among the other effects of Silatul Rahim. One of the narrations states that the reward and recompense for those who maintain ties of kinship is paradise. Many narrations have been mentioned regarding those who maintain and those who cut or sever ties of kinship. In the sayings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, one of the blessings of the blessed month of Ramadan is that the fasting person through hunger and thirst can remember the hunger and thirst of the day of resurrection. So that they can prepare themselves for the day of judgment. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Maintain ties of kinship with your relatives." In many supplications and verses, it is mentioned that the believers perform righteous deeds, a'mal salih, and one of the results of righteous deeds is maintaining ties of kinship, especially with closer relatives. Maintaining ties of kinship is more important during the blessed month of Ramadan, especially if one can assist the poor and needy.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Please keep us in your dua and supplication. Have a nice time and we leave you in Allah's protection.
Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Ramadan, 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 Ramadan. The blessed month has dawned upon us with its merits and blessings combined. In it the Quran was revealed to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon his soul. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan. Without Iman being uplifted from reading the Holy Quran, and the joy of breaking our fast every day, O blessed month of Ramadan.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.